Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
Hey, it's Phil Hendry, and it is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast. Truth is our bitch. Welcome to the show. This evening we have with us, of course, Margaret Gray. We have Robert Leonard. We have with us Bud Dickman. And tonight we'll also be...
Hey, man, you want some water?
No, I'm okay. I wasn't actually coughing so much as just going too fast. In fact, somebody asked me the other day, do your thoughts go faster than your mouth? Or does your mouth go slower than your thoughts? Is there something, you know what I mean?
Uh-oh.
Margaret, are you familiar with this?
Well, it's a neurological test.
It's a neurological test, that's right. I had a neurological test once years ago because I'm crazy. No, I'm kidding. I actually had a neurological test years ago because I was having a hard time. I've had insomnia my entire life. And when I tell people about the insomnia problems I have, they look at me like I just landed from the planet Venus.
Yeah, but it's pretty weird.
Well,
you've talked about the sleep paralysis, which I think is absolutely fascinating. And at the same time, and this, I'll only use this word this time, but so retarded.
Yeah.
What do you mean retarded?
Well, didn't you say you threw yourself out of bed?
I threw myself.
Yeah, gotta find out whether he's gonna wake up.
He was doing that to find out if he'd wake up, but you flung yourself from your bed. So let me ask you, Phil.
I didn't fling myself from my bed.
Let me ask you, if you were in a third floor apartment, let's say, would you just throw yourself from the balcony to see if gravity worked? I don't understand.
I know gravity works.
Then why did you do that?
I did that. We're getting way ahead of ourselves here. Sleep paralysis is this thing that many people listening have it, and it's a terrible thing to have. When I was talking to some friends of mine about it last week, I was talking to Darren and the guys. We were doing a rehearsal on our one-man show, and we took a break, and I was talking to them about this, and they were sitting there with their jaws open, just, what? What is that? I said, well, sleep paralysis is when you wake up, you think you've awakened, but you're in a half-awake, half-sleep state. So it's sort of a twilight sleep. You are still dreaming to some degree, but you're awake enough to sense that your body is there, you're in a bed. The room around you is the room, but you're still sleeping, so things are different. It's really out there. It's like the cabinets of Dr. Caligari in a way,
What's that?
What's that? The cabinet of what?
The Cabinets of Dr. Caligari. It was an early 1920s made-in-Germany film. It's a fascinating film from the standpoint of... Margaret, you know about the...
Yes, it's the German Impressionistic School of Filmmaking, and I believe the director was... hold on.
Was it that guy Fritz Lang?
No, it wasn't. Don't let him... I'm the film person.
Well, was it Fritz Lang?
No, it wasn't Fritz Lang. It was Fritz... It was some...
She said Kraut.
I did. I said some Kraut name.
All right. Forget that I asked, okay? Thank you, Robert.
You are a real rat. You know that?
Well, you did. You said some Kraut name.
I said some Kraut... No, I didn't say some Kraut.
All right. Well, you take it easy with that some Kraut. The fact is, the Germans in the 20s were quite an interesting... A group of filmmakers, the Cabinets of Dr. Caligari being one of them. But in this film, one of the characters is schizophrenic. So the director, forgive me, I don't know his name, the director built sets that were off angle. And it, in other words, was to give us the view through the eyes of a schizophrenic, what the world looks like. Oftentimes, people that are psychotic or schizophrenic have a heart. Their reality's fractured, so even the street is not level. As they walk down the street, it's sideways, and faces are different. It's a terrible, terrible disease, and thank God we're starting to get a handle on it.
But the Cabinet of Caligari...
What about the Cabinet of Caligari?
Well, ain't they gonna make a movie like that?
They'll not make a film like the Cabinet of Caligari again.
Thank you.
Oh, don't be sarcastic, Phil.
Well, I mean, you're making this speech.
In what way?
They'll not make a film like the Cabinet of Caligari. The Cabinets of Dr. Caligari.
That's Italian.
So?
You said it was German.
Well, what difference? difference does it make, man? Don't you think they got Italian doctors in Germany?
Well, no, I understand the confusion, but the Italians did ally themselves with the Germans later on.
What do you mean, ally? They're like, lie down.
Not lie down.
The Germans and the Italians had a political alliance in World War II, yes. What's that got to do with an Italian doctor working in Germany?
Well, maybe it was shot in Rome.
Yeah.
A German film shot in Rome? I don't know. You know what we ought to do? Just so that we can really waste a lot of time, let's find out where Caligari, who is the hero of the cabinets of Dr. Caligari, was he Italian? Was he a German with just an Italian? I know. Maybe he was from Switzerland.
What's that about?
Switzerland's got a lot of Italian names. They've got a lot of German-type Italian. They got cats like Ludwig Robicelli. Have you ever heard of these guys from Argentina?
What does that mean, these guys from Argentina?
Have you heard of...
But it's, yeah, Argentina I heard of.
Yeah, everybody heard about that.
I'm not talking about Argentina. When I was a kid, I used to follow auto racing, and I don't follow it as much as I do now, but I used to love the International Grand Prix auto racing circuit, and the Argentinians had a guy, Carlos Reutemann. You know that name?
No, I don't.
Carlos Reutemann. That means that's a guy from Argentina with a German last name.
Is that German?
Yes. Just take it from me. It's German. How is it you guys know Italian, but you don't know German?
I don't speak Italian. The man said that when he...
Will you never mind? So Carlos Reutemann was a part of the expatriate. He was the son of, I would imagine, the expatriate Germans that went to Argentina, shall we say, for a new reality.
Yes, I take your meaning, Mr. Hendry.
What are you talking about? With a wink, wink, and a nudge, nudge.
Never mind about it. You're too young.
Yeah, bud, just... So,
what?
Never mind.
Yeah, bud, you wouldn't understand.
Yeah. Carlos Reutemann, you don't want to know about.
You guys are keeping stuff from me, and it's makes me feel inferior.
You are inferior.
All right, bud, I'll tell you. I just was joking around. The Germans after World War II went to Argentina, a lot of them.
Oh, yeah, to hide out because they were war crimes.
Exactly. Not all of them, though. But not everybody was a war criminal that went to Argentina. Some of them were Germans that just wanted to split because they believed in National Socialism. And they didn't want to live in a country that was divided between the West and the East. They didn't want to live in a country that was either run by the Soviets or by the Western powers. So a lot of Germans split. And a lot of them went to South America. There's a huge expatriate community that was established there. And to this day, you will find a great many German surnames amidst the Argentinian population. Doesn't mean they were war criminals, although they were...
They were Nazis.
They were Nazis, okay?
I like Nazi.
Yeah, I like Nazi, too, because it gives a... It shows the... It makes it...
Yeah, go ahead. I'm following.
Well, you guys are not talking to each other. I'm on the air right now. So anyway, the cabinets of Dr. Caligari, because of how crazy people... Ah, I know, I was talking about how psycho I am. So anyway, oh yes, sleep paralysis. How the hell did we get to Argentina?
Well, there's a lot of ways... What are you talking about?
A lot of ways you get there.
I'm not talking about by plane or by boat.
I'm sorry, Mr. Henry, I know we're confusing you, but you said for us to shut up, too.
I did, thank you, bud, for acknowledging that.
Well, you don't tell me to shut up, do you?
Yes, I do, sometimes. So the sleep paralysis thing was the result of me saying something about something, I forget what. All right. Yeah, no, anyway, sleep paralysis is very scary, and so I threw myself out of bed one night because I wanted to test a theory that had been discussed with me by my doctor at the time, good old Doc Gans in Beverly Hills, California. Great guy, very funny guy. In fact, Dr. Gans was the guy who said to me, do you mind, Phil, if I write down for the insurance, because when you go to the doctor, they have to write down what the diagnosis is, what is the, what did you diagnose the patient with, what did you treat the patient for? This is for insurance purposes. He said, would you mind if I write down lycanthropia, which is the, you know, man thinking he's turning into a wolf? I said, no, not at all. Go ahead. I don't think he did, because obviously that probably would have...
Well, that's the end of your insurance.
Yeah, they pay that one bill and then...
Then they wouldn't insure me, exactly. I wouldn't blame them either. Hey, Bob, we've got a guy here with lycanthropia. Forget it, you know. So he was a funny guy. He said to me, I believe, and this is just my feeling, that the idea of sleep paralysis is psychological. He says, I think that there's a psychological thing happening with sleep paralysis. And I said, really? He said, yes. He said, I think that if I had a bunch of people in a room that I was able to induce into having sleep paralysis, and there's ideas as to why it happens, maybe too much alcohol consumption on any given night, too much caffeine consumption on any given night, things like that. He said, what I'd like to do then is have them with the sleep paralysis, and then I'd set fire to the room and see if they all woke up, because the self-preservation instinct taking over, you would bust through whatever psychological barrier had created the sleep paralysis. You'd save yourself, you'd get up, and you'd run. So I thought, that's kind of interesting. So that's, is it physical or is it psychological? Yes. He says, I think it's psychological. So I said, all right. So I went home and thought about that. Well, years later, I'm in bed one night, and I get this sleep paralysis, and I thought, aha, I'll test Dr. Gans's theory, because you're that conscious.
So let me get this right. You're half dreaming, but you can also...
You can sort of think. You know that you have this thing, and you know, oh, God, man, I hate this, and you know that you're sleeping. Yeah. So what I did was, you can move yourself when you have sleep paralysis enough. You can roll over, and I did. And I rolled over, and I threw myself off of the bed.
What, so you wake up?
To see if I'd wake up. Because if I'm falling out of the bed, I'm going to wake up, and I'm going to break my fall, aren't I? So I rolled out of the bed, and I did not break my fall. And I remember I hit my head on the dresser.
What an idiot.
Wait a second.
Well, what a stupid thing to do, Phil. You could have been very badly hurt.
Hold on. So I hit the floor, and I woke up then. I damn sure woke up then. Now, I thought about that, and I thought, okay, that's physical. And then I thought about it later. I thought, wait a minute. Wait a second. If it was physical, why did I wake up, if you will, or lose the sleep paralysis when I hit the floor? In other words, just because you hit the floor doesn't mean you're necessarily going to relieve yourself of this sleep paralysis. You'll wake up. But why wouldn't you still be paralyzed?
Because it's not sleep paralysis no more.
It's not sleep paralysis anymore. But what is it about the sleeping state that would cause a physical paralysis? If you have a physical paralysis, you have a physical paralysis. You know?
Phil, you're not a doctor.
You're right. Anyway, I'm thinking too much about it. All right, we'll be right back. World famous Phil Henry Show. Steve Bozell on the end of the world, on doomsday, on the Mayan thing, on the Mayan, you know, oh, those Mayans. As Tammy Wynette said, stand by your
Mayan.
Right, we'll be right back. World famous Phil Henry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Henry Show.
Listen.
Given all your
God, Tammy Wynette, bless her heart.
Hold on. What about this song?
This is where they predict. God,
predict the Mayan doomsday.
They predict the Mayan doomsday.
Yeah, listen. This was the backward basking that I heard. I tried to tell people, and I tried to tell people.
Understand. What's he talking about?
Listen, here it is.
Here it is, right here.
But if you
yeah.
love
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought they were coming up on it.
Will you get out of here with this song?
No, I swear to God, Phil, listen.
Where's Mr. Bozell?
He's holding right now. Do you want me to man the phones while these two jackasses...
Yeah, if you wouldn't mind.
Ms. Gray, you're missing out. It's right here.
It ain't that I don't like the song. I love the song.
Yeah. Well, hold on to your hat, because it's here... In the,
yeah, hold on, keep your shirt on.
Yeah, hold on to your hat and keep your shirt on.
Okay, I got my hat and my shirt.
Right here.
Stand by your man.
See, stand by your Mayan.
Get out of here.
Are you two jackballs trying to tell me that what she didn't say Mayan?
Yes, she did. She's all hillbilly.
A cold and lonely.
All right, if she's not... She says man. She doesn't say Mayan.
Thought she did.
So this was the backward masking you wanted to tell me about. By the way, Bud, backward...
It's all right, Mr. Henry. Do you want a, how about electroshock?
Get out of here. Backward masking is backward masking. It ain't frontward singing.
What?
Stand by and burn.
No, that ain't Mayan. All right, 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445, the world-famous Phil Hen Show. Now, we have Stephen Bozell with us. Mr. Bozell is the father of two. He is a construction contractor in Corona, California, a responsible citizen, a good man. We've had Steve on our show before. He's a guy that has spoken to us about a lot of stuff, Steve, and you're a good guy. I know that you have taken a lot of heat in the past because you're also very much an activist citizen. Would you call yourself an activist?
Well, you know, I don't think I've ever thought of myself as an activist, Mr. Henry. I think of myself as, I think what you said there, as a father and as a mother.
Sorry, I thought that was Stand By the Mayan.
I don't want to hear that anymore, okay?
Not yet. By the way, could I just say, as a long-time country music fan, I come from Tennessee, and that is the home of great American country music, you know, Phil, in Nashville. To the gentleman there that played Stand By Your Man, that is a classic song. And I can understand, certainly, you wanting to have a little bit of fun, but Tammy Wynette is no longer with us. She's a great singer.
Absolutely.
And a great artist, and I don't think you should mock her that way.
Yeah, but, sir, she's been dead a long time.
I understand she's been dead a long time, but as a great artist and singer and...
Tammy Wynette was great. There's no question about it. I think that the point that Bud was trying to make, he misunderstood.
Well, I think I don't hear it, and you didn't hear it either, but because I do come from that part of the world, I guess if you say she said the word Mayan, and I know people make fun of how we talk, but I didn't hear it.
No, I didn't hear it either. I heard her say, stand by your man.
No. Sorry. I heard Mayan.
Okay, that's great.
You know, I Mr. Bozell, my name is Margaret Gray. I'm a professional singer. Or I have been.
Yes, ma'am.
And I, too, echo your thoughts and your feelings. Tammy Wynette was a great inspiration to me, and I loved the song she did. Do you remember, Phil, from Five Easy Pieces? Our D-I-V-O-R-C. You remember that?
Yes, I do. Our D-I-V-O-R-C-E became final today.
Yeah, the song about divorce.
Okay, I'm... the D-I-V-O, now I'm getting nervous.
All right, well, in any event, let's not talk about Tammy Wynette. We're on here to talk about the Mayan doomsday predictions. You have talked with your attorney, Dolores Blazengame, in conjunction with two other, I think, attorneys and plaintiffs in the San Luis Obispo area?
Well, it's the Central Coast, I'm not exactly sure, but there were two other people that I was put in contact with. So it's to sort of consolidate our efforts, Phil. And it's simply this. It's I understand and everyone understood that the Mayan doomsday prediction was certainly not to be taken seriously. It was something that was blown way out of proportion. It was misinterpreted. There was no doomsday prediction there. It was simply a calendar, a Mayan calendar that someone read and someone took. And I think it's probably an internet hoax, if you will. So that was something that we would never, ever take seriously in a million years. The reason why we are, contemplating a lawsuit against the Mexican government and also against the United States government as well is that even though we knew that the Mayan prediction of doom and the end of the world was not real, it did still cause us to have anxiety to the point where at the last minute, better to be safe than sorry kicked in. And better to be safe than sorry is a longstanding American ethic, if you will, whereby you know that you probably don't need to do something, but you do it anyway. And that's all right in instances where one might think, anything can happen. But in the case of a doomsday scenario, where the Mayan culture is supposedly predicted for well into the future, the end of the world, and better than safe than sorry kicks in. Now you begin to now there's a question of manipulation of mental health, and certainly a question of the control that another being or body or culture or country has over you. Years ago.
Well, hold on for a minute, Steve. I got to take a break here.
Yes, sir.
We'll be right back. Stephen Bozell on the doomsday, Mayan doomsday that never was, that never is, that just wasn't, that didn't happen. And that Tammy Wynette wasn't singing about either.
John, stand by your Mayan.
No, not stand by your Mayan. We'll be right back. Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry.
Here, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. And we're talking with our very good friend here, Stephen Bozell, about the Mayan doomsday prophecy and the fact that it didn't happen. We're going to be joined by Jay Santos of the Citizens Auxiliary Police to find out from him. There's a little bit of a connection there in terms of Mr. Santos and Mr. Bozell and that they consulted. But also, I know that Jay Santos had his Citizens Auxiliary Police officers deployed in such a way. And Jay, are you there?
Phil, I'm right here, yeah.
All right. Now, Steve, I want to talk to you. All of this seems really silly to a lot of people. Did it seem silly to you, Jay?
Absolutely. You say to yourself, well, you know, I can't let my own personal opinion affect my professional judgment. If there is a need to, go into any community, go into a shopping mall, or go into a place of business or restaurants, and we have to, see to,
public safety.
I'm sorry?
See to this is Margaret Gray, public safety.
Yes, Ms. Gray, exactly, public safety. That's what you have to do. I've got some residual, and that's why I consulted with Mr. Bozell. Yes, sir.
Okay, now what is residual?
Do you want to tell him, Steve?
Residual, Mr. Hendry, from the standpoint of what I was talking about, is that while my mind can grasp the fact that the Mayan doomsday prophecy was nothing more than a lot of internet chatter and was not to be taken seriously, there is what I've identified as residual. Now, I'm not a psychologist. But it can be a physical flux, and that's what I noticed in myself. And I think, Mr. Santos, if I could
call that Brigadier Admiral.
I'm sorry?
Yeah, if you could address him as Brigadier Admiral, that's his...
I apologize.
That's quite all right, but that's the rank that I've earned, and I remember Ms. Boxer at the United States Senate of the United States was saying that she's Senate, and she wants to be called that.
Right, I understand. All right, we don't want to be contentious.
No, I'm not being contentious. I just did something I've learned.
I apologize, sir. So you're a Brigadier Admiral.
That is correct.
All right, sir. The residual that I heard you have just a moment there was that I heard you say it was a glottal glitch.
Now, if I could just anticipate what you guys are talking about, is the residual a psychological problem that causes a physical reaction?
I would say that's correct, wouldn't you, Steve?
Yes, sir. It's a psychological reaction to the fear or the anxiety you have about the Mayan doomsday that manifests itself. Again, I want to make very, very clear to your audience, no, I did not believe there was going to be a doomsday. No, I did not believe there's going to be an end of the world. No, I did not believe that there was an end of days.
And that's something else, Phil. As a member of Citizens Auxiliary Police, we would hear people talking about end of days. And these were religious people, and I would say to them, if you want to talk about the end of the world or the end of time, then you can talk about it in those terms. When you say end of days, you are talking in a religious sense. You assume a sort of public persona that you don't deserve. You think you're walking around wearing some kind of a hood. Those are the things that we were trying to keep people from doing.
What does that mean, walking around wearing a hood?
Well, I think that if you're going end of days, then people, you think you're some kind of a druid priest. And I think that sends the wrong message to people who may be on the edge of having a residual.
All right. We're using a lot of terms here. And, Margaret, I know you have some questions. Bud?
Yeah, I wanted to...
Well, excuse me. Don't I ask before he does?
Yeah, let Margaret ask, and then you.
Well, go ahead.
No, you go ahead. I'm sorry, Bud.
Thank you, Mark. Go ahead, Bud.
Thank you. I want to ask from the standpoint of a residual. This is Bud Dickman, by the way.
Yes, sir. How you doing, Bud? It's Jay Santos.
Yes, sir. Okay. When you got up this morning, did you have, were you aware that the world was here?
Of course I was.
No, we're not talking about guys that aren't aware that the world ended. They're talking about a physical...
No, I understand it, Mr. Henry. Just allow me to ask my question in my own way, sir.
Yes, sir. Sorry, sir.
Wow.
Yeah, well, you know, don't get between a dog and his meat. And that's what she said. And
will you come on and ask your question?
Sorry. What I wanted to ask was simple. What is the residual effect? I'll let it go at that. Go ahead. Your witness.
What do you mean, your witness?
I think he thinks he's on a... What was the show that Andy Williams, the one that just died and he was on the TV show?
Andy Williams?
I think you may be talking about Andy Griffith, who I love very much. Matlock?
Matlock. I think you think you're on Matlock.
No, I don't think I think I'm on Matlock. I think I'm in here.
In any event, so we have... What is the residual?
The residual is when... I just told you. I'll take it from here. This Brigadier Admiral Santos will share it.
Go ahead.
Can we dispense with the title? I think it takes up too much time.
Let me host the show.
I just thought you could dispense with your title.
Ma'am, as I said, ma'am, quoting Barbara Boxner...
And her name is Boxer, not Boxner?
I apologize, but quoting Miss Boxer... you know, I worked long time and hard time to be Brigadier Admiral. And I... you know, that's something I want to be.
Well, you are a Brigadier Admiral. It's just taking a long time.
You know what's taking more time? Talking about us taking up the time. Let's just do it.
Fine.
Thank you, Mr. Henry. The residual is when you feel, I'm a modern man, you're a modern man, we're all modern men. Miss Gray is a modern woman. So we know that there's no doomsday scenario. And yet, deep in the recesses, in the shadows and the windmills of our mind, or whatever they call it, I'm sorry, I was thinking of the song.
That's accurate.
Deep in the windmills of our mind, okay.
Well, I'm just saying, way back in the recess, and way back in the shadow of your smile or something, you go back and...
What's it mean, shadow of your smile? What's the matter?
I'm going to lose it, okay?
Phil, I understand. Let's just move on. I'm asking too many questions.
Well, she said shadow of the smile.
Never mind, will you?
I apologize, Mr. Rand. I'm a little bit nervous. I'm using terms I shouldn't use. Way back in our mind...
Let's say way back in our... the older part of our brain, in the superstitious part of our brain.
That's a very good way of putting it. In a superstition... we do have a little doubt. And I think when it came to the Mayan doomsday, the doubt we had was, yes, of course, it's the world is not going to end. This is a silly, ridiculous notion. And yet, in the windmill of my mind, I'm still sort of afraid of it. And so...
Yeah, right. Can I just...
Go ahead.
So you, at the last possible moment... at the last possible moment, even though you know, back as Jay said in the windmill...
Never mind about the windmill of your... back in our superstitious brain.
All right, back in our superstitious brain, we think maybe something will. And so if we're talking to people, we'll say, no, I don't think there's going to be a... And I recorded what Jay said to play it back for you.
This call to residual. Go ahead.
December 21st, 2012, Jay Santos on the windmill of his mind.
And so I don't believe that there's such a thing as doomsday.
Okay, that I heard...
Yeah, you heard what we call a residual. It was a glottal hitch.
What that does is it betrays emotion and fear.
All right, so what is the lawsuit then?
The lawsuit, Mr. Henry, through Dolores Blazingame and associated attorneys in the Central Coast of California and any other attorneys anywhere else in the country that want to join, is a lawsuit against the Mexican government because their tourist board, in promoting the Mayan calendar,
and promoting this sort of, and by de facto and default, and the day, you know, the day, you know, doomsday, however, by default, de facto doomsday, they promoted the Mayan doomsday to the point where they were not clear. This is not a doomsday. This is a Mayan calendar. And at the very end of it, when I did more reading, I found out that what the Mayans were talking about was not the end of time, but it was the end of a certain era of civilization, and a whole new era is beginning. Now, it's not unlike the dawning of the Age of Aquarius.
That's exactly right, Phil. I remember reading that.
Right. So, in other words, this is not a doomsday scenario. It was the ending of one era of human life and the beginning of another.
That is exactly correct, Mr. Henry, and that was not made clear. As a result, you have people who should feel actually warmed or good by the new era of human life on this planet as portended by the Mayans, but instead, I had residual, Mr. Bozell's had a residual too.
Do you have any example of your own residual, Mr. Bozell?
Yes, I do. This is a recording last night from an interview I did with Jeffrey Barnes, I think, on cable in Boise, Idaho. It was a radio interview. It's on 2010, is that? And I did.
So what did they say?
Well, they said that I was foolish to not believe in it. And of course, Jeffrey, I don't believe in the Mayan.
What's happening to you now?
It's a residual. Cover 20. There you go, Mr. Henry. All right, well, you know.
Mr. Henry, I understand it sounds funny and you get your jollies, you want to get your cookie, and I understand all that, but.
Excuse me, we're not getting our cookies here so much as we think it's funny.
Yeah, it's pretty funny to hear you go, yee yee.
All right, I don't need that. You understand that that this can be something that is a lifelong affliction and something that can stay with a man for a long time.
That's what we're talking about, and that's why we are attempting, Mr. Henry, to have our attorneys address it on that level.
I'm sorry, on what?
We're attempting to have our attorneys address it on that level. I'm sorry.
On that level?
Yes, that's a Pennsylvania act. I know, I understand. You've got a little bit of a Western Pennsylvania and Baltimore accent.
That's correct. I come originally from Western Pennsylvania. I come from Beaver Falls, if you know where that is.
You come from Beaver Falls, Pennsylvania?
Yes, sir. That's Joe Namath country.
Oh, that's the hometown of Joe Namath.
Well, isn't that wonderful? Whatever.
Maybe whatever. That's Joe Namath. I'd never seen him or anything, but...
Joe Namath was like one of my favorite quarterbacks growing up.
Well, that's where I'm from, Mr. Henry, the home of Joe Namath. And we do have a tendency to swallow rattles out there, so...
All right. We're going to be back here with Jay Sanos and Stephen Bozell on a lawsuit that they are contemplating against the Mexican government for promoting the Mayan prophecy, the Mayan calendar... And not emphasizing that it isn't doomsday, it was just the ending of one era and the beginning of another. That was what this Mayan calendar represented. And much like in modern astrology, the dawning of the Age of Aquarius, if we could put it into those terms. We'll be right back. World famous Phil Henry Show.
Truth is our bitch.
Age of Aquarius, you
the
never heard
Phil
of that?
Phil Henry no. Show.
It's a song. This is the dawning of the Age of Aquarius.
Oh, God.
Hey, welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Our number 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. We're online at philhenryshow.com. Now, Margaret, you mentioned, and with us, by the way, is Stephen Bozell and Jay Sanos, the Citizens Auxiliary Police. Mr. Bozell is a private citizen, a construction contractor in Corona, California. Margaret had mentioned, guys, the Age of Aquarius. And I'll ask you, Stephen, is that essentially what we're talking about when we talk about the Mayan calendar?
I think so, Mr. Henry. I think what you have there is the Mayan calendar is in its own way, in the Mayan way, in the way of the Mayan, was saying that there's a whole new, you know, time that has been ushered in by, you know, the ending of one of era and the beginning of another. So it had nothing to do with the world ending. It had to do with the one era ending and the new one beginning.
Yeah, again, Phil, this is Jay Sanos, the Brigadier Admiral.
Yes, sir.
Which I would appreciate again. I don't know if
Yeah, I'm sorry, Brigadier Admiral. I should say that he did say during a break to please.
I apologize, Brigadier Admiral. I didn't talk to Bud.
All right. So if Mr. Roselle could hand it off to me one more time.
I'm sorry?
If you could hand it off to me one more time using my rank.
Oh, yeah, okay. And so I don't know where I left off.
Just...
What are you guys doing?
Here's Brigadier Admiral Jay Santos.
Thank you very much. We're fine, Mr. Henry. So in other words, the dawning of the age of the aquarium or something.
It's the dawning of the age of Aquarius. I have the song, if I could, Mr. Santai. I don't mean to be rude.
Well, my name is Santos for starters, so that carved out a brand spanking new ass. And
all right, let's not be petty about names and ranks, if you don't mind. I'm sorry to raise my voice.
My God.
I'm sorry to raise my voice. Let's not be petty about names and ranks. And by the same token, get the man's name right. I think his name is Santos, and I think the gentleman deserves to have it.
I appreciate that, sir.
And my apologies, sir. Mr. Santos.
No, it's Brigadier Admiral.
Brigadier Admiral Santos. The age of Aquarius, as you know, and you can sort of fade down the... Because I'm going to do something here.
Fade down what?
Fade down their... Gentlemen, excuse me, let me get...
Don't grab that, Margaret.
Well, he's not doing it.
Don't manipulate the board. Bud will do that. Now these tell these guys they're on hold.
Yeah, hi. Yeah, you guys are on hold right now if you haven't figured it out yet because no one's paying any attention to what you're saying. Yes, sir. No, Mr. Santos, stop talking. I mean, Brigadier Admiral...
Do it. Let me have the phone. Yes, sir, we'll be with you in a minute. Huh? We'll be with you in a minute, sir. Margaret's going to sing... He's going to sing this song. I don't know what that was. It sounded like, what the hell?
Yeah, this is it. This is the age of Aquarius. And, it goes like this.
Yeah?
Hold on. Hold your horses.
Keep your shirt on.
Yeah, keep your hat on. Well, I mean, take your hat. Get out of here with that. What is this?
Mr. Henry, I was about to sing this is the dawning of Aquarium.
The dawning of Aquarium, huh? Put these poor... I apologize, gentlemen. That was very rude. Now...
I don't understand what's happening. I heard Ms. Santos, Ms. Gray say... My name is Santos. Ms. Gray was going to say...
Ms. Gray was going to sing the song The Age of Aquarius, but I still haven't heard the song yet, so I don't know what the hell it is she's doing.
I thought that this song had the lyrics to it, but I guess I'm wrong.
No, it does not have the lyrics to it. All right, so you'll have to set that up some other way. Thanks a lot. That's...
I'm sorry.
Well, could I continue then?
Go ahead, sir.
What I was going to say is, Mr. Henry, the residual is something that, while is not... It's not anything I don't think that you have to worry about, but it is something that I think people who took the, seriousness of this, and then you put it together with how serious everything is, and then you, I forgot what I was going to say. I'm sorry.
Okay, Margaret.
Caterwauling. What is this?
This is a song.
I'm singing the song, for God's sake, not her. What are you doing?
I turn that crap off. Where am I?
Guys, I'm about to hang up.
No, I apologize, sir. What happened was that we were going to do The Age of Aquarius and the lyrics we've...
Let me say something. I want to wrap up here because I got to go. I've got my wife and my kids. My kids want me to say prayers with them. It's getting late, and I've wasted enough time with you people. And
well, I'm sorry you feel you've wasted time, sir.
Well, I have. I mean, I'm listening to. In any event, the glitch that I had, my own personal glitch, is not the same as Jay Santos. My residual is where I can't say certain words. Mr. Santos, he had a glottal glitch. And I can remember very, very clearly when I was a little kid seeing a man staggering down the street with a knife sticking out of his head. Now, that was the result of his wife trying to kill him. And the knife in his head didn't bother me so much, but he was going, he was talking like a tard. And, and I can recall very vividly when I was on Jeff Barnes' show last night, and I said, and I had a hard time saying, you know, I'm trying to say it now. And,
what can't you say?
I'm trying to say the word buying, but every now and again.
Get to residual.
You get.
Okay.
Yeah. So I couldn't say it.
All right, so let's move on to Jay Santos.
What's wrong?
The guy staggering down the road with a knife in his head, that.
I know the story you're talking about. I seem to recall that. But, yeah, when I was talking to earlier to your producer, Mr. Henry, I said that my residual is simply a hitch, a glottal hitch, which I did play for you. Mr. Bozell, forget it.
Yeah, we're out of time.
Am I going to get to sing?
You and that song carved up the last segment of this hour.
Fine, am I going to get to sing?
Sing what?
The Age of a...
Gotta sing about Age of Aquarius.
Okay, yes, you can sing Age of Aquarius. We'll be back, world famous Phil Henry Show.
Plus, you had Jay Santos on mic instead of on the phone.
I know, I butchered it.
On account of you.
No, you.
No, you.
I gotta get going. I can't take it.
Phil Henry.